Did you know that Alchemist Accelerator can operate a program for you? Welcome to Innovators Inside, the podcast for people working in corporate and government innovation. Brought to you by Alchemist X, the corporate services division of Alchemist Accelerator. Here you'll follow me, Rachel Chalmers, head of Alchemist X, as I talk to the industry's highest achievers and most compelling thought leaders. These are fly-on-the-wall conversations with leading practitioners in the field. They'll share their lessons learned so that you don't have to go through the painful experiences that they did. So sit back, relax, and get ready to level up. Today, I'm delighted to welcome Ashif Mauji to the show. Ashif is a serial entrepreneur who strives for efficiency in everything he is involved with. He's a venture partner with Rising Tide, a venture capital firm investing primarily in the information technology and healthcare life sciences markets. He sits on the boards of the TELUS Friendly Future Foundation, Invest Alberta, the Edmonton Police Service Foundation, Hockey Canada Foundation, and the Sarah McLachlan School of Music, among many others. Ashif has 12 patents and speaks three languages. It's so great to have you on the show. Thank you so much.
Thank you for having me.
You are, among many other things, a fantastic networker and mover and shaker in your home province of Alberta. What is it about Alberta's economy that has you so excited?
Well, there are so many things about Alberta that excite me, but the biggest thing is the talent. I found that out firsthand when I had my operational companies, because we were in 180 countries, and consistent message I got from my clients in the various countries were, that talent that you have is just amazing. You know, it's smart people, but they're dedicated, they're loyal, they're hardworking, they have a great work ethic, and they just strive for quality and excellence. And so to me, that's the biggest thing about Alberta is the talent that we have here.
And is that technical talent coming out of the universities, or is it more generally just a work ethic in the province?
I would say it's both, Rachel. In terms of technical talent, I mean, our University of Alberta here is known to be one of the best. I believe it's in the top five in the world for artificial intelligence and machine learning. And so our AI ML talent here is just amazing. But beyond that, our programmers are our technicians. But then if you look at our laborers and you look at our business grads, you look at our law students, every single industry, I can tell you, the talent here is just incredible. And, you know, a good testament is, you know, it was recently announced Warren Buffett's successor is going to be Greg Abel. Well, Greg is a University of Alberta graduate.
That's awesome. Can you tell our listeners a little bit more about AIMEE, the artificial intelligence program at the University of Alberta?
Yeah, so AIMEE was actually first part of the UofA, and then they spun off to be a separate not-for-profit. But that's where, you know, the famous Dr. Rich Sutton works there, and he's a professor there, along with his day job, which is at DeepMind. We've got, again, the best talent that you can think of right here within AIMEE. And AIMEE is a great institution because it helps companies, startups, as well as advanced companies, any AI, ML experience that they need, and more in terms of training and so forth, but then providing great domain expertise to them. So it's a great resource that Alberta offers to companies that are here or, you know, want to come here, if you will.
And then more generally, you've got these two cities right up on the high prairies, sort of between eastern Canada and the Vancouver coast. And it's got a sky-high quality of living. It scores hugely highly on the human index scores. Why do you think that is?
You know, it's a good question. I mean, it's the quality of life here is just, again, that's the reason why we are here. I mean, we could be anywhere in the world, you know, and one could argue that, you know, given my background, I should be in the valley. Right. But the quality of life here, and I've been to several countries, but the quality of life in Alberta is, again, in my opinion, second to none. Great healthcare, great education. I mean, especially in Edmonton, we don't have private education because, quite frankly, you don't need it. The public education is better than private in most cases. Great hospitals, great doctors, great in the arts scene. So, again, all the things that I would look for to raise my family, Alberta has and does it really well.
What is something that surprises people from elsewhere, maybe particularly from the Valley, when they visit Alberta?
There's a few things. Their assumption of the two cities, Edmonton and Calgary, are, you know, that it's smaller cities. But, you know, our population in both exceeds 1.1 million. And so it's quite diverse. You look at the diversity and it's amazing. A lot of the different groups are represented really well in both cities. The second thing is the environment. You know, when you go outside, the fresh air is, the quality is just, you appreciate it when you start going to crowded cities and you go, wow, our air here is just, again, you know, incredible. And then the scenery, right? If you go to our Rocky Mountains, And you see, you know, look at Banff National Park and Jasper National Park. It's breathtaking. And I have had, you know, clients from the U.S. that have the Rocky Mountains come here, and they say to us that yours are way better, right? It's just, it's pristine.
I can't wait to come. You and I met very fortuitously earlier this year when we were working together on the application for the Community Safety and Wellness Accelerator. Can you tell our listeners the story of the CSW from your point of view?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, the CSW is something that, you know, myself and our chief of police, Dale McPhee, had been talking about, you know, even before Dale became the EPS chief. And it started with the discussion of, you know, what are the community's largest problems? And, you know, it's the same thing that you hear everywhere else, you know, homelessness, addictions, mental health, domestic violence, and so forth, which pretty much every large city has. And, you know, so Dale and I were chatting, and he says, you know, well, what do you think is the issue? Because it's not like we're not spending enough, we're investing enough. Every year we spend more, but the outcomes aren't that great. Right, we still, no one's really happy, and so what is the issue? And we, you know, jointly came to the conclusion that we haven't really looked at the problem from a different lens, right? So we haven't brought in entrepreneurship, and imagine the other problems that we've faced, you know, whether it's in industry or anywhere else. When you bring in entrepreneurs, they tend to solve those problems really well, and if you pair entrepreneurship with data, with AI, with the right accelerator program, the right mentorship, the right funding, well, that's a recipe for success. And that's how the discussion came, saying who would be the best accelerator. And, you know, it was, for us, it was Alchemist. Again, everything that you've done, everything that you do, and the credibility and the mentors and the network that you have, we thought would be the right ingredients. So, you know, that was the best Sunday call I've ever had, was the call I had with you.
It was a very memorable conversation. And of course, we're delighted, you know, we have this big apparatus for solving wicked problems, and for us to be partnered with a group in this wealthy, amazing province that's really motivated to work on some of these wicked problems is just a really wonderful stroke of fortune. Ashif, when you look back on your career to date, what are you proudest of?
There's several things, and I know you said career. Obviously, family to me would be my number one. But in on the career spectrum, you know, I would say it's my need to be creative and innovative and take risks. You know, and I look at back when I graduated from school, every one of my friends and colleagues from school went and got a job, which was the smart thing to do. It was the right thing to do. It was what, you know, you're supposed to do. And I didn't do that. I went and started a company. And, you know, everybody, including my profs, were saying, that is a bad move. That is not the right thing. Go and get experience. And I just said to myself, no, I want to go and work for myself. And I did that. And luckily, I found, you know, a really good contract. Started off not even doing what I wanted to do, which was programming. It was more administrative, but it was in the IT group. And, you know, my manager, Steve, took a chance on me, and I got the work done, and then he allowed me to go into programming, and I got that. And, you know, long story short, in 3 years, I was able to partner with IBM and win a $60 million outsourcing deal.
Gotta love that. If you have one do-over, what might you have done differently?
You know, it's around mentorship and surrounding yourselves with the right people. I did not do that up front. I always thought, as an entrepreneur, I know what I'm doing. I don't need help. And I did that. And, you know, if I hadn't have done that, I think I could have been much further ahead. Now, I would never do that. I would never advise a startup to not take mentors in and bring an advisor, et cetera. But again, that was something that I did, and it was a bad mistake.
And speaking as a mentor and advisor, I frequently encounter very early career entrepreneurs who do not want to hear my constructive observations and who are convinced that they know what they're doing. And some of them genuinely do and go on to success, but the majority would certainly benefit from having better mentors. What do you look for in a mentor?
For me, in a mentor, it's somebody that is that has the humility, somebody that you know, is really there. The motives are there to help me. They're not there for any other motive. They just want to be there to help me, coach me, connect me to different people, et cetera, et cetera. You know, and kind of be there when I have good days and I want to share a celebration story, or I have bad days where I'm scared and I can't make payroll, you know. So just somebody like that, that is going to be there for me and not judge me, but really be there to help me, would be the ideal mentor.
Yeah, and the network piece is the part that everyone obviously appreciates. You know, getting introduced to investors is great. But I think the part that's harder for people to appreciate, but almost more valuable, is when one as a mentor asks difficult questions. And it's not intended to undermine the entrepreneur's confidence. It's intended to get their hypothesis to be stronger by being examined. So that's a hard line, a hard balance that we constantly have to strike. Do you find that with the startups that you advise?
Yeah, exactly. You know, it's I ask for permission. So I ask for permission, saying, "Would you like me to be candid? And it might hurt you, but it's going to be the truth, and it's going to be in the best interest of you and your business. Or would you like me to just, you know, be passive and tell you what you want to hear, and just, you know, be more in the praise mode and just praise you for everything?" And, you know, pretty much every time they ask me to be candid. But because I've asked for that permission, then they've set their mind up to expect the worst. You know, and I don't sugarcoat anything. I tell it the way it is, but I use my experience sharing. So rather than telling you what to do, I'll tell you what I did in that scenario and how it affected me and what I should have done differently.
That's a good approach. I like the concept of asking for consent, because the challenge is always persuading somebody that you're genuinely on their team, that you're pushing them because you want to make them better.
Exactly.
How would you distill all of your vast experience into one or two lessons for our listeners?
Wow, that's a tough one. You know, there's strength in numbers. So, you know, I'll pick the theme again on mentorship. Surrounding yourself with the right people, and make it a diverse group. You know, I know quite often an entrepreneur will look for somebody in their industry, you know, and I'd challenge them to look for somebody outside of their industry. Because I know for me, my most wicked problems were not solved by people in my industry, were solved by people that had nothing to do with my industry, because they looked at the problem very differently. So to me, getting the right mentors and a diverse set of mentors, I think, is very important. You know, the second thing is be mission-oriented. You know, I find a lot of startups, not a lot, but a number of startups and entrepreneurs saying, you know, when I ask them, "Why are you doing this?" And it's about, "Well, I've heard AI is the next big thing," or "I've heard blockchain's the next big thing." You know, and the theme is around chasing the next big thing. And to me, it's like, well, are you passionate about it? Did it affect you personally? You know, is it something that it's near and dear? Something that when you are a month away with no payroll, you've been working 20 hours a day, you've had no sleep, you have, you know, Kraft macaroni and cheese in your pantry box, and you still want to wake up and go to work, that's the right cause.
Yeah. And when the answer is, "Well, I'm passionate about making money, and making money would make a big difference to my life," that's not going to be enough when payroll is looming. How do you avoid burnout?
Yeah, you know, it's and so this came from a great entrepreneur and great mentor, Bill Gates, for me. And I remember him saying, you know, it was the same question, because he used to work tirelessly at Microsoft, lots of hours. And then, you know, he got a revelation of taking time off and spending one day on not Microsoft-related work. And so when he said that, I was thinking to myself, well, there's no way I could do that, right? Taking a day off, that's unheard of. But I started doing that. So I took Fridays off and I didn't work. And actually, you know, again, in Edmonton, I have a hot tub, and so I'd sit in the hot tub. And I like smoking cigars. That's my stress relief. So I'd have my laptop on a floating like a pad that holds a laptop on the hot tub, have a cigar, and I would think about different things, and I would think about different problems not related to my industry. But that allows me to release my stress and think about, you know, other problems, if you will, and just refocus myself. And that one day of free time, if you will, allowed me to avoid that burnout.
That's an indelible mental image. Thank you for that. Bill Gates, a huge reader as well. And that's one way, I think, to get that diversity, that breadth of thought that you were talking about with mentors, into your own brain is really, you know, reaching out into areas where you're not a domain expert and being curious and being open to ideas that come from other fields.
Oh, exactly.
Speaking of, what is the best way for our listeners to connect with you or to follow your work?
You know, I'm quite regular on LinkedIn. So LinkedIn would be the best place. So I tend to, it might not be immediate, but, you know, when I take on a new role or doing something interesting, I will update my profile and kind of post in there every now and then. So that's probably the best way. I'm not really that big on Twitter. I am on Twitter, but I don't post as often there, work-related anyways.
What does the future look like for you personally? We've got this big joint project we're working on together. How do you see that panning out?
You know, my biggest thing, my purpose in life is to, and you know, you'll hear this quite often, but it's to leave the world in a better place than you found it. And to me, I really take that to heart because, you know, when I look at where I came from Kenya, came from poverty and saw poverty, you know, rampant. I know that we can do better for humanity. And so to me, it's about, you know, what can I do to make a big difference in humanity around the world? And so that for me is the future. If I can move the needle a bit and be happy with myself, saying I did actually give it everything I could, that to me would be a great future. And that's kind of what I see in my future is everything I do has to move the needle for humanity.
So for the next 5 years, everything in our industry goes exactly as you hope it would. You are the mover and the shaker, and everybody takes your advice and does what you tell them to do. What is Alberta? What does the world look like 5 years from now?
Oh, 5 years from now, for Alberta specifically, I see us, you know, we're very heavy on natural resources and oil and gas and energy. I see us really moving the needle on diversity. So, you know, when you first talk to somebody about Alberta, the thing that won't come to their mind is energy. The thing that'll come to their mind is innovation, technology, diversification, and artificial intelligence. Those are the themes that I'd like Alberta to be known for. You know, an entity where, a province rather, that really, you know, pivoted and moved from energy into innovation and really embraced it and shared that with the rest of the world.
Yeah, that's what we're all going to need to do. How about the world more broadly?
More broadly, you know, I think it'll be around humanity. I think we can do a lot in terms of, you know, curing some of the, you know, the things that we take for granted, you know, malaria and so forth. I think those we can get rid of. I think using AI, we can have much better outcomes on medicine, as we've seen with vaccines. You know, the how fast the COVID vaccine was developed, I think is a great testament to what I see coming in for treatments around cancer and things that we've always looked at and said, you know, that's a tough problem. I think technology will take us to the level where we should be able to solve those issues, right? And I think things like poverty and hunger will be able to solve, again, using technology, using different ways of growing food and so forth, synthetic foods and you know, getting plant-based meats as an example, right? Or plant-based foods, I should say. Things like that, I think, will really drive us to that space where we can all actually live a better life and lift everybody around us.
Sounds good to me. What else should I have asked you?
My motorcycle racing days were fun. No, it was, you know, I think you know the story around that is I used to race motorcycles. And then when I moved to Canada and I got married, it was in my marriage contract that I will not ride a motorcycle again.
Yeah, congratulations on surviving that. My brother rides a very nice Italian motorbike, and I am continually concerned for his well-being. Ashif, it's been a delight to have you on the show. I couldn't be looking forward more to working with you over the next few years. Thank you so much.
No, thank you. And likewise, I really look forward to working with you.
This has been Alchemist X Innovators Inside. You can find the transcript of this conversation, plus links to whatever books, articles, TV shows, and apps we talked about on our blog. And stay connected by following us on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, and LinkedIn. If you found the podcast valuable, feel free to share or tell your colleagues. We love hearing from you. Send us your comments, feedback, suggestions for future guests, or just say hi by emailing us at innovators@alchemistaccelerator.com.